Hi, this is Todd Friel, Executive Director of Fortis Institute. Perhaps you've noticed Christians aren't looked upon as favorably as we once were, and we're determined to not retreat in the face of persecution, taunting, legislation that makes life harder for Christians to speak the Bible. I'd like to invite you to join us in our spring matching gift campaign. No retreat. We are determined to stand firm, and we are inviting you to stand firm with us. We will continue to make as many and more resources as we currently do, because we are determined to see our King exalted. And if that matches your heartbeat, would you kindly consider joining us as a gospel partner? Your gift is doubled right now. You can learn more and join us at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. I hope you are having a great day in the Lord. I say in the Lord because we have been talking about union with Christ. Robert Raymond, the theologian, said, union with Christ is the fountainhead from which flows the Christian's every spiritual blessing. We are going to get into this topic today, but first let me remind you that we really do appreciate those ratings and reviews. So if you would take the time to do that and subscribe and share these episodes with your friends at church and others that may benefited from this interactive conversation about theology applied to our lives, that is so appreciated. Well, we've been saying union with Christ is kind of one of those sleeper topics that maybe you would kind of blow past in your Bible reading, all those references to in Christ Jesus. But it turns out that this is like a little kid eating steak for the very first time, that it is so delicious, but it requires more chewing than baby food. It may be more delicious, it may be more nutritious, but it takes some work to get it into your body, especially when you're young. So we've been kind of dwelling on union with Christ and thinking about it and even kind of rehearsing some of these things that we just have bumped past in our Bible reading so that we can better appreciate and apply the significance of what some reformers thought was the basic, most important area of theology in the New Testament. That the fact that we are united with Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. So we've been kind of expanding that, looking at some of the difference that it makes. Wayne Grudem in his systematic theology gave some headings, and we saw that, yes, we're united in dying and rising with Christ, but let's consider some more of these topics. We also have new life in Christ. Listen to these words from Colossians 3, 1 through 3. If then you have been raised up with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Grudem said, right here, right now, you are in continuous possession of spiritual resources to live the Christian life because of being connected with Jesus at the right hand of God. Now, that is the message of Colossians, isn't it? That's what he's saying, that in some way, your life right now, Christian, right now, brother, right now, sister, your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ appears, he's the one who is our life. Then we will appear with him in glory. That's how tightly united we are to Jesus. And remember the theologian a couple of episodes ago when we're just beginning to unpack union with Christ, he compared it to having a spiritual umbilical cord going from heaven to earth. We are that connected to Jesus spiritually. So these blessings, of course, we don't deserve them. They were earned by Jesus. They're in the possession of Christ. But guess what? Because you are in him, these blessings also belong to you. So the New Testament can just drop jewels out of the treasure chest. Like, oh yeah, you have eternal life in Christ. You have faith and love in Christ. I was just looking at this a little bit ago in 2 Timothy 2:1. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So Paul tells Timothy, hey, be strong. But he's not telling Timothy, go to the gym, go do your workout, get your spiritual gains going. No, he says, you've got it in Christ Jesus right now. You need to grab on to the strength that Christ has already provided you because you are connected to him. So there's faith and love, there's grace, there's salvation, there's wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Doesn't it say that in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3? Here it is. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So they're in there. They're in Christ. The treasure chest is right there. And you are united with Christ. So you have access to this. God's riches in glory, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, yours in Christ Jesus. And of course, Ephesians 1:3 said that the Lord has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, wow, we've got it all in this new life in Christ. Here's another practical difference that it makes. All of our actions can be done in Christ. Have you ever had an opportunity to travel out of the country? It's such a great thing. I really recommend it if you can do it. Take advantage of it, missions opportunities, or just visiting a friend or relative that is out of the country. If you can do it, it's a good thing. But it is really different when you see another country's flag. Like to me, that's really significant. I mean, I'm so used to being in the United States. We've got flags everywhere of our country. And here in 2026, this is, of course, the 250th anniversary of the founding of our country. And so there's going to be lots of extra flags. It's going to be America all over the place, especially as we close in on July 4th. But if you go to another country, you look around and you see other countries' flags, and it's a little bit like, you know, different, you know, wow, here we are. We're in another place. I mean, I've been in Muslim-dominated countries, countries that even though it's secular, the vast majority of the people would call themselves Muslim, like Turkey, not too long ago. I've been in former communist countries like Croatia, which has a beautiful flag, by the way. Check that out online. I've been in communist countries like China and other countries like the United Kingdom that feel very comfortable and very similar to what I'm used to in some ways. And of course, the people are people. They're just people that need the Lord, and they're just looking to have a good family and have a good job. And it's like, wow, these are just regular people like the rest of us, made in God's image. But it's different. You're surrounded by different cultures, different traditions, and different ways of doing things. Well, when you become a Christian, you enter a different realm. And in a sense, you and I are already part of the age to come. We already are in the realm of King Jesus. Of course, the fullness of that will happen when he comes back the second time. But as Wayne Grudem said, this means that every action in our lives can be done in Christ if it is done in the power of his kingdom and in a way that brings honor to him. So Paul speaks the truth in Christ. He's proud of his work in Christ. He has his ways of doing things in Christ. He hopes in Christ to send Timothy, you know, in Philippians 2:19. He rejoices in the Lord. Again, he says, rejoice, right? Philippians 4. He commands, he beseeches, he exhorts. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so it's kind of all over the place, which is really exciting. I mean, he writes that believers labor in Christ. Even children, obey your parents in the Lord, right? Wives are to submit to their husbands in Christ. You are to be strong in Christ, encouraged in Christ, rejoice in Christ, agree in Christ, stand firm in Christ, live godly lives in Christ, have good behavior in Christ, work hard in Christ, be confident in Christ. You are approved in Christ. You are built up in Christ, mature in Christ. Jesus says that we are to, or John says that we are to abide in Christ, which echoes what Jesus said. And when he was talking about the vine and the branches, that we are to abide in him. You do all your things in Christ. We have a different flag over us. Yes, if you are an American and a citizen of the United States, that's fine. It's great in God's providence. You have the rights and privileges of being a citizen. But we are ultimately citizens of heaven, and we are under the flag of King Jesus. And all of our actions can and must be done in the power of his kingdom and in a way that brings honor and glory to him. We have to take a break. We're going to come back and look at even more blessings of being in Christ Jesus. But listen to Jimmy as he talks about some of the resources available through Fortis.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Kratz in just a moment, who's continuing his series on what it means to live in Christ. Now, here's a truth I want to share with you about Fortis Institute. You know, none of the content that we create, what Dr. Kratz is doing today and what he does every week, or any of our other fellows, none of the content that we're creating exists without people just like you, people who decided that what we're doing here at Fortis Institute matters enough to support. Those are people we call gospel partners. And gospel partners are men and women just like you who give on a monthly basis because they want more people in more places all over the world to have access to the content that we're creating. That's how every piece of content we create is never behind a paywall. It's all absolutely free. It's how the app was built and is maintained and how the new resources and shows get launched. And look, if that's something that you want to be a part of, if you've ever heard anything from any of the content here at Fortis Institute that has helped you in any way at all, and you want to make sure that more people have access to this content, maybe you want to join us. And we would definitely be honored to stand arm in arm with you, as long as you're already faithfully giving to your local church, because you hear us talk about that all the time, because that is your number one giving priority. Never give to our ministry or any other for that matter if you're not first giving to your local church. Now, let's get back to Dr. John Kratz. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Kratz.
Welcome back. We are continuing to chew on that great theological piece of steak called union with Christ. We are united with him. When you turn away from your sin, when you recognize in and of myself, I am full of sin, and I deserve God's deepest wrath. When you turn to Jesus Christ by faith, you recognize that he is truly man and truly God, and he lived a perfect life among us, completely obedient to every one of God's commands. He died on the cross in the place of sinners, and he was raised from the dead on that first Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day. He was raised literally, bodily, and he promises eternal life to those who will trust in him. Turn away from your sin and you trust in him. A miracle happens at that point. You are united with Jesus Christ. You are united with his death and resurrection. You are given credit for his life, and his sins have been fully paid for, signed, sealed, and delivered at because of what he did on the cross. When he said, "It is finished, paid in full," that now counts for you, you who are trusting in him alone for your salvation. That is the precious, that's one of the implications of union with Christ. But we're also, you know, now given freedom from our sinful ways. Yes, we still fight with remaining sin, but we don't have to do it anymore. We're not slaves of sin anymore. We're united with his death. We're united with his resurrection. We live our lives in Christ. All of our actions are done in Christ. It is an amazing miracle. Well, this dynamic of being united with Christ is described in 1 Corinthians 12 in this way. For just as the body is one and has many members, members means body parts there, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. So the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. And so we are now not only united with Christ, we are connected with our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. There's a couple of big lessons there for us to take away from this. We're still working out, you know, what difference does union with Christ make in our practical life? And we are put into the body of Christ with our brothers and sisters. Well, one big lesson, he is the head, we are the body, right? So there's a submission there. In fact, you want to know one characteristic of a church you ought to be looking for is that Jesus is the head, not only in just truth, the reality, the spiritual reality of it, but where a church actively gets it and is actively seeking to submit to Jesus as the head, right? That's what we want to be about, submitting to our Lord Jesus, because actively, presently, I mean, different churches kind of have different forms of church government. I mean, we believe the Bible teaches that churches should be led by a team of godly men. Of course, the congregation is very involved in that as well, but that's great. But sometimes there's churches where it's like, okay, we don't have elders, we just have deacons, or the pastor really runs everything. Well, listen, the ultimate head of the church is the Lord Jesus, and may it be that we're all seeking to submit to him. However our church government is shaped, may it be that Christ is the head, and we as the body are in submission to him as he has revealed his will to us in the word of God. And so we want to conform more and more to that. But, you know, we want to be part of churches that it is obvious that Jesus is ultimately in charge. Another lesson for being one in the body is that we are united with each other as we are united in him. So, you aren't special. I mean, you're in the body of Christ, but just because you've got gifts and abilities that the Lord has given you, that doesn't put you over and above the other parts of the body. Of course, in this very section of scripture in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul's going to go on and make comparisons that, hey, just because you say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, says that wouldn't make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. You know, if the whole body was an eye, a big eyeball, where would the sense of hearing be? In other words, we need all the body parts, you know, to come together regularly. That's the way the Lord intended it. I know there's people with special needs and that sort of thing, not meaning any disrespect. You were still made in God's image and precious in the sight of the Lord and very much appreciated. But for illustration's sake, the regular way the Lord has it is the body has lots of different parts, all coordinated and working together as one body. And in the same way, you and I are part of the same body of Christ. And just because people are different than you, that's precious to the Lord. And we shouldn't despise one another or exalt one another. We are all working together to be all that we can be as the Lord's very body on earth. I mean, we have a lot that connects us. In 1 Corinthians 12:26, Paul says, if one member, remember, member means body part, if one body part suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. We are connected to each other. Isn't that the case? Your big toe hurts. It's like your whole body hurts. I can't do anything now. I didn't even realize how important my big toe was until my big toe started hurting so much. Now I'm worthless. Well, we want to have that kind of interconnectedness in our church families as we are connected and part of the body of Christ. The old walls of division are broken down because of these connections, because you're in Christ Jesus and I'm in Christ Jesus. We're both in the body of Christ. That's why Paul can say in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Praise God for that. So that means we're spiritually connected and united, right? It doesn't mean that there are no divisions, right? I think that there's other commands in the New Testament that show, yeah, you're still a slave, at least for now. If you can get your freedom, that's a good thing because you were free in the Lord. And yes, if you're a Christian and you had slaves under you during this time of the Roman Empire, you better treat them with dignity and respect and not be unkind and harsh with them. But that being said, because we're both in the body of Christ spiritually, we are connected and we are equal in the Lord. This is what the Lord was praying for in John 17, verse 21, that they may all be one in you and that they also may be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I mean, we have like fellowship, like the members of the Trinity. We are that connected to each other and to the Lord all together. From eternity past to eternity future, it's all about being in Him. And what we've said is there's a big impact right here, right now. So, you know, Grudem helped us out with some big headings, but you know, there's even more that we haven't seen because there are over 200 references to being in Christ. You are forgiven in Christ. Remember that great verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. You're forgiven. You've been declared righteous, not because you deserve it, not because you are so worthy, but because you are in Jesus and He is so worthy. You're adopted, you're sealed, you've got fellowship with Christ and with each other in the body of Christ because we are connected to Jesus. You're being conformed to the image of Jesus. You have fellowship with His sufferings and death, according to Paul in Philippians 3. You can anticipate fellowship with His exaltation. Just as Jesus was raised on that day of resurrection, so too we will be raised with Christ fully and completely as we're glorified in Him. when he comes back for us. This is worth the effort to think about, brother and sister. This is a bigger deal than we may have appreciated. And I need to say, the more you get it, the more you will grow in holiness and Christ-likeness. It is everywhere in the New Testament. Look for it. Think about the meaning and apply it as you encounter it. You don't want to just be bumping over it thoughtfully. We want to not just be hearers of God's word, but we want to do God's word. So think about the fact that you're united with Jesus today and go do God's word.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.